Someone sent me a picture of the Dukes of Hazzard and said, it's them Dukes. Coming up on TMS, I think I became an accidental drinker last night.
The Pope wants to get the aliens to church.
The British have large amounts of cocaine in their water.
Spider-Man might just be coming back to Marvel after all.
We get an early peek at the new Batman suit, sans nipples.
Oh no. Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Ah, scary movies while having breakfast in bed with my delicious chocolate cereal, Count Chocula.
Switch to something better, you chocolone. My delicious strawberry-flavored Frankenberry.
Tune in, Frank. Count Chocula has chocolate marshmallows.
Wrong channel, Chuck. Frankenberry has delicious strawberry-flavored marshmallows.
Kids love Count Chocula.
Kids love Frankenberry. And I love their commercials.
You can enjoy this nutritious breakfast with Frankenberry.
Count Chocula.
Your hair stays this way for days. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream, where something funny, 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 snark, snarky, snark.
Oh, gosh, good morning. I don't know why he was so quiet there. Hold on, I gotta check something.
The Morning Stream, where something funny, 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 snark, snarky, snark.
Yeah, well, it's just low. I don't know why.
Sounded okay to me.
Did it sound all right? Maybe it's just me. Could be in my head. It's in my head, everybody. It's the Morning Stream. Welcome back. Wednesday, May 14th, 2014. Me, Scott. Brian. Hi, Brian.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Scott. How are you?
Keeping it short and sweet. we come to you, dear listener, this morning with heavy hearts. No. With an achy back. That's what I meant to say.
With an achy, breaky back.
Achy back.
Is that the deal?
I have two pieces of advice that I'm gonna deal out right away. And here's the first one. Always take the high road. All right. I'm just gonna leave that right there. Just leave that on the table.
Right.
Always
like,
take the high road.
Figuratively or literally?
I think figuratively, because sometimes the high road is colder and the altitude sucks. So don't go on that one. But when it comes to the figurative fellow human conflict kind of scenario, I recommend high road every time. All right. There's one.
Okay. All right.
Second piece of advice.
Yeah.
Just because rice cakes are good for you doesn't mean you should eat too many of them. Mm. And I won't get into too much detail here, but you know, I'm on the healthy kick trying to stay ahead of the diverticulitis attacks and all that stuff, right?
Right.
And Kim bought me a bunch of rice cakes because they're supposed to be good for that sort of thing. And that's good, and I like them. I do like them. And
you don't find them really like unpleasantly
like
dry and boring?
Yes.
I mean, did she get the flavored ones?
She got some flavored ones and some boring ones. Okay. I don't actually mind the boring ones because I'll put things on them. So it's not just like I'm eating those by themselves. I put peanut butter and like fresh strawberry jam on one. Mmm, that was really good. And you don't want to put that on like a ranch flavored one. That's a bad idea.
Oh God, no.
So I did. It's a real bad idea. So I didn't do that. I ate a normal plain one, and then I had a little bag of the mini ones, and then later I had another one.
I never thought about actually putting stuff on them.
Yeah, they're great with stuff on them.
That's hilarious, and that seems like such an obvious thing, but it's like, you get them, it's like, oh, all right, three bites.
The law is you must eat them plain, Brian.
Exactly, yes.
So,
can I dunk this in something?
So, you can put meat on there, you can put a big old egg in the middle, you can do whatever.
Wait a minute, like cook an egg and just throw it on a rice cake?
Totally could. Yeah, why not? I've done that.
What is it supposed to supplant then? Like, what are you taking out?
Toast, bread.
Okay, all right, so this is better for you with the starches and carbohydrates.
Oh, yeah, way better. Right? Way better. And there's zero, like, binders in it. There's no gluey, gooey white bread garbage in it. It's just straight-up puffed rice, right? So I like them. They're fine. They do what I need them to do. Hold on, that's weird. Why is it doing that? Sorry, my mixer's being weird. What's my point? Oh, my point is, it doesn't matter how healthy a thing is. Okay, so we know, you know that like a zucchini is good for you, right? Some vegetables or whatever. But no one's going to say, hey, Brian, make sure you spend a day eating about 50 zucchinis. It's going to mess you up.
I'm guessing this crosses over into the Brian's always in moderation rule.
Yeah, kind of. So I thought of you yesterday while I was eating way too many of those. And I thought, whatever. They're puffy and light. What's the problem? And I don't know, about midnight, I kind of woke up just going, just feeling like I had I was full of packing popcorn, you know, like the little puffy packy things. What do you call those? You pack a box with them.
Packing peanuts.
That's
styrofoam peanuts.
I feel like I was full of styrofoam peanuts is how it felt. So,
okay.
Once again, don't do what I do. Don't listen to me. Don't pay attention to me.
Consume. This is good. I might as well just eat the entire bag.
No moderation. I'm actually looking in my garbage can. This is pathetic. So there's a little bag ones that are like flavored, like barbecued flavored and, you know, cheese flavored or whatever of the little rice cakes, the Quaker Oats brand ones, right? She got those as like a little, okay, well, you have that with your lunch or something. There are three bags in my garbage can. That was just yesterday.
No.
And I didn't even notice it. I didn't know I was even doing it. I mean, it's pathetic. So
were you playing Diablo or something?
No.
Just like,
just
really
busy working. Yeah, had a ton going on yesterday, but I just mindlessly dipping into a bag all day. Like,
but it is absent-minded eating.
Totally.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, somebody had to get it down here, which was me. You know, I had to actually be in the kitchen, grab a bag of a thing, and take it with me. So I don't feel like I have much of an excuse. I just feel like an idiot. So don't do that. Because now I'm all achy and like bloaty. Because I got packing peanuts all up in my business. All right.
You remember when, you used to probably always get stuff from Mac, what was it, Mac Sales? Or there was some company that was always in Mac World and online always used to get stuff from. It was red, like their logo was red and white, and I can't remember what it was. But
in the magazine, it was like a mini catalog they would always print.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly. And and I remember when they switched from styrofoam over to the biodegradable, whatchamacallit, peanuts, technically ones you could eat, they're non-toxic.
Sure.
And the first thing we did, first package we got, we're all checking out the packing peanuts.
Did you taste
instead
it?
Instead of the trackball, the Logitech trackball that we bought or something.
That you ordered.
I did take a little bite of one.
Did you really? How'd it go?
It's cornstarch, basically.
Oh.
You know, or not cornstarch, it's corn. It's maybe it is cornstarch, but it's something really innocuous and flavorless. But we ended up throwing them in the toilet and just watching them dissolve and...
Just experimenting with them.
Slow day at the office.
I guess so, dude. Yeah. I guess I know the kind you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I would be less inclined to eat them because I know where they're storing this stuff. Like, what guy's got his hands in that bucket of packing peanuts and just
scratching himself in places you don't want to think about, and then handling my Logitech trackball and the cornstarch peanuts.
Yeah.
All right. Great.
Yeah. So good job on that. And that'll come back later. You've got a worm or something growing. You just don't know it.
Exactly.
So speaking of worms and growing and all that. So I think I may have accidentally or unknowingly had an alcoholic beverage yesterday.
Ooh,
now, I'm not a drinker, as you know.
No, I do know.
And because I'm kind of have this weird thing where because I have gone my entire life without ever drinking alcohol.
Like not even sampling my alcoholic milkshake at Holstein's at the Cosmopolitan.
Not even a sip.
Not even a sip.
Not even that dumb one Randy got, the, what was it called? The
Captain Crunch
thing. Yeah. Not even that. Like, even though that thing smelled like it smelled a mile away. It smelled like some Saturday morning kid in his pajamas.
I was going to say his funny pajamas. Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what it was. So... Yeah, so I never have, and the only time you could say, oh, well, you've had alcohol would have been the time I had some peaches that had gone a little south, a little fermented, right?
Okay.
I could just tell it was almost like they had the tang of rubbing alcohol in it. And then the only other time would have been like NyQuil or something, you know, because that's got alcohol in it.
I mean, probably a lot of that over-the-counter stuff, like Formula 44D or Vicks or whatever. I mean, I'm sure.
Wait, there was a I thought that. Oh, you're right. There is a thing called that. That was like an old cough thing.
Yeah.
They have that anymore? I don't think they have that anymore. Do they? I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
I have no idea.
I'm going to go check next time.
They had at least 43 attempts to get it right. And on the 44th.
Now, I've been dabbling occasionally in this kombucha business, right?
Yes.
Makes me kind of settles my gut. I like it. It does kind of what it's I guess meant to do. It's also kind of, you know, nice and refreshing. It's fermented tea is what it is. Mm-hmm. And they've always, you know, the claim is always, well, yeah, there's trace amounts of alcohol, but it's very, very low and they don't have to list it. It's not, there's no volume per whatever thing on there. There's none of that proof stuff. It's not considered an alcoholic beverage because as fermented as a tea may be, there's not enough there to qualify for you to say anything legally. So you buy it anywhere. You can go to a, you know, gas station and a kid of 12 can buy one and walk out of there with it. It's not like a big deal.
It's freely available for
just so everyone knows. It's not hard to get.
Licensed to buy kombucha.
So there's this brand. I don't see the bottle. I was hoping to have it here. Synergy is the brand. Okay. I hate that name, but whatever. May as well call it Webinar for all I care. Webinar kombucha. So
think outside the box with our beverage.
That's right. So I could go a thousand ways with that. That's funny. So kombucha, I've got a bottle of it, and I had one the day before, and it was fine. Everything's great. Same brand, same flavor. Next day, mm-hmm. Cracked that thing open yesterday. Ooh, it smells different. Something's different here. But all right, whatever. Be sipping on this, drinking on it.
You continue to drink it.
Yes, and then later, my wife and my kids get near me and go, "Yeah, Dad, you smell like a bar or something." I'm like, what? They go, yeah, it smells like beer in here, like that bar over up the street where we take them to dinner sometimes. It smells like that. I'm like, you're kidding me. And Kim goes, oh my gosh, what'd you do? And I said, well, I've been drinking this kombucha here. So I give her some. She goes, oh my gosh, this is so south. Like it had gone completely full on, you know, it's like a pirate would make this in a barrel someplace.
Grog.
Yeah.
It's turned to grog.
So I think it had just, I mean, it hadn't expired. The date was still like June something. Mm-hmm. But I got to admit, kind of had a little better afternoon. I was feeling pretty good on it.
So did you actually notice some effects? Like
a little bit, kind of chill, a little buzzy, you know, a little, just, I don't know.
See,
just a little chilled out. It was
but
weird.
You didn't notice it until you thought you may have drank.
No. I noticed it earlier too. And I noticed the smell. All these things were happening, but I'm just like, it's kombucha. What you gonna do? It's freaking weird, you know. Just kind of blew it off. But I think I may have had the equivalent of, like, I don't know, probably a low grade O'Doul's level beer.
Probably,
I'm sure exactly. There's nothing in there really, but
like half a Rolling Rock is what you just consumed.
I think you know what it is. I come to your house after you've been at Oktoberfest and you blew in my face. That's about the extent of what I got alcohol wise. I don't think it was very much. So anyway, but then it got me thinking about this funny thing that happened.
Okay.
Hanging out with a friend at this place called, what's the name of that bar? Oh, not Sliders. It's just up the street. It's awesome. We love it there. I can't remember the name of it. Dang it. It's a sports name. It's a sports bar. Anyway, we're in there. Oh, it's going to piss me off.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. It's good. And it's all pub food and, you know, wings and just great, great food. Anyway, so we're over there. And I have a kombucha in my hand. Okay. And he has a beer. He's a beer drinking dude. And
beer
he's
drinker.
Drinking
gotcha,
that beer.
Sure.
And I talked about this on the Twitter the other day. And I'm holding the kombucha, and he said, and he's making fun of me that I got this thing. Fermented tea. What the hell? That's crazy. That's a girl drink. You know, this kind of talk.
Yeah.
And he goes, at some point, he's holding his beer in his hand, inches from his face, and says to me, I could never drink anything that's fermented. That's what he said. I was incredulous. I couldn't believe he actually said it. Anyway, and for those at home going, I don't get it. Beer's fermented. I understand it doesn't have chunks and floaties in it like this stuff does.
At least it's sealed in a vat. I don't know what they... I mean, this kombucha is probably left in buckets on somebody's doorstep in a hippie commune or something. But
probably. They make it in some back room in a prison.
That is the visual I have. By the way, somewhere deep in the heart of Georgia, Daniel is furiously writing down, all right, 8:19 a.m. Scott, tell us about the peach story. I'll have to make sure.
Make sure the peach comes up again. It's whatever. It's weird. It was funny. It made me laugh. But the kombucha, just everyone relax. I know people are sending me stuff. The health effects are not yet proven. Or other people are like, you need to drink that every 5 seconds or else you're going to die. There's like this huge swath of opinion. Right. All I know is it kind of settles me. It just feels like it's, you know, whatever. It's just it's another drink. You go have your Coke that I know is killing you slowly, and I'll just drink this thing, which may be killing me a lot slower. All right.
Right. Especially if you drink the one that that's not right, that's past its expiration.
That's gone
Do they put an expiration date on there? Is there any point?
There is an expiration. It says 614 something on the bottle I had yesterday, this year. I guess something would be 2014. But yeah, they put that on there. Make a good point though. But I assume at some point the fermentation,
it's like sour cream.
Yeah, too much. It's like, whoa.
Right.
Or yogurt, you know, like at some point, if your yogurt's got blue fuzz on it, you've gone wrong.
The bacteria has won.
Yeah. You've done a terrible thing.
Active cultures have finally won their internal battle.
So anyway, good times, everybody. I'm going to now call our good buddy, Daryl. And then I'm going to ask this question that's above that because I want him to be in on
this. Oh, okay. All right. I see that.
So hold on. Let's see. D.
What's going on here? Hold on. I got to lean over again.
Something with my bandwidth, I think. I don't know what's happening there. All right. Let's call him. Let's do this. Here's his theme. Wait for it. Hold on. Here it is. Welcome to Stump a Trek Nerd. It's brought to you by...
Gushy says you should listen to the Quantum Leap podcast. Listen as Albie, a Quantum Leap veteran, examines each episode with Heather on her first viewing of this classic show with guest interviews and more. Go to quantumleappodcast.com to listen or learn more and support the show at patreon.com/quantumleappodcast.
Awesome. Oh boy! Yeah, oh boy.
I had a little couple things in there.
I like the oh boys. Keep that up.
Oh boy, oh boy.
Oh boy is right. Daryl isn't the boy of the moment. Hi, Daryl.
Hello.
Daryl's a boy. If you look underneath him, he has a wiener. that reminds me, somebody has a hedgehog in our neighborhood.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm such an idiot. The first thing I think is, how do you know if it's a boy? Because they were saying he. I'm like, how do you know it's a boy? And they all look like forlorn, like, oh no, we don't actually know if he's a boy and we don't know where to look. So
I assume, like any animal, you'd look in the private area for a penis.
Well,
right,
they've got
do hedgehogs not have that sort of
hedgehog crotch is where you'd look, that general area, right? That's where you'd want to go. That's where your eyes
Google,
would be.
Google that hedgehog crotch.
Got a Snapchat from somebody who's at work, got one who's looking at their Ford in the car, and then I got one from you, which is a video. Oh my gosh, I wish I could save that. You knew that was a video, right? I assume you knew
that was a video, yeah.
Good Lord. Are you okay after that? That looked really
painful.
Totally
fine.
And the one from Daryl is a mystery. It didn't actually come through. I thought I saw your name, Daryl. Must have been a text or something.
Oh, I didn't think I sent anything.
Yeah, it's me. It's all me. So, Daryl, it's good to have you back. Let's get on this here thing. Oh, Nicole just texted. She is still down with horrible headache. Feels worse than yesterday. She has strep. She will not be here. All right.
Aww. All right. We'll do our own recommendations.
We'll soldier on. That's all right. I need her to get all her diseases good and done before.
No kidding.
Before July. Daryl, and by the way, 6 weeks until Nerdtacular.
Oh, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that.
Put that in your potato and bake it.
So much to do between now and then.
I know. Tell me about it. And it's just, I can't. Yeah. That seems like nothing to me. I mean, it's 6 weeks. What is that? That's nothing.
Do you know how many questions I have to write and how much content I have to come up with between now and then?
I'm going to say all the questions.
All the questions.
Yeah. Yes. All the video clips.
Here's a thing I want to do. Here's a thing I want to do. Here's a thing I want to do. And now I just have to actually do it.
Yeah. I got a bunch of that too. And I got, there's stuff. We have things. Okay. I have art. I have stuff. I have things. Oh my gosh. All right. Anyway, Daryl.
Don't even remind me anymore.
Daryl. I shouldn't have brought it up. Actually, somebody brought it up yesterday and it just blew my mind. I can't. Oh, it was Dunaway. He's like, see you in 6 weeks. I'm like, what? Don't talk like that. What kind of talk is that? All right, Daryl, it's time to stump you with a Star Trek question. It is Next Generation episode related. It's about the episode The Next Phase. Geordi and Ensign Ro. She has a nose ridged for her pleasure. Become choked. Sorry, cloaked and phased. They do not become choked.
Oh, yeah. That one. Okay.
Yeah, where they're kind of ghosting around the whole time. Remember that? Mm-hmm. The crew believes they... like he wrote this. The crew believes they have been killed and are holding a memorial service for them. They attempt to become uncloaked by using a disruptor to emit certain particles to 10 forward. What kind of particles are they putting into 10 forward? Are they A, baryon particles? Baryon.
Baryon,
oh,
right?
Yeah, baryon.
Oh. Yeah. Well, that's B-A-R-Y-O-N.
Baryon.
Shouldn't it be B-A-R-I-A-N or something? Baryon?
Baryon. You know, it's,
all right, fine.
Come on. Scientists spell things funny.
They do.
Move on.
Those bastards. B, tachyon. That would be tachyon. C, anion or anyon. 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 Was that kid from... Arrested Development, the Korean kid. Onion, right?
Yes, right. And he just repeat his name like Hodor.
Fantastic.
He was the first Hodor.
D, Cronition particles. Cronition particles.
Oh, is it Chroniton?
Oh, is it...
That'd be Chroniton, yeah.
What's wrong with me? Yes, it is Chroniton. Cronition. Ah, I'm Tom Cruise. All right. Let's while you think about it. Oh, did we get it? You guys didn't get your box, did you?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Nope.
They're coming.
And I hear we've got even more stuff coming too from Australia.
Yeah. That may be the one. Because these are Australian. So that
think?
Might be that might be. Who was it? What was his name? Do you remember?
That one came from Stuart, or the conversation we had on Facebook, but it sounded like he said that was coming.
Oh,
was
that's
on
him.
His way.
Stuart Cooper, that's him. Yeah, this is what I got. I don't know why I got it so early, though.
So he hasn't heard yesterday's show to say that. Yeah. All right, Scott's already received his.
Yeah, same dude, though. So, gotcha. Stuart, thanks, man. We'll watch for it. Daryl, we got any birthdays to celebrate?
Oh, we do. It's Faith Minton. She is 57 today. She played the female Klingon that was going to be Worf's mate on the episode Hide and Q.
Ooh, that's the perfect thing to play, then.
You may now give birth.
There you go. There you go. You may now give birth. Yeah. Like birthday, get it? See?
Hmm. You may now give birth.
So,
you're now free to move about the cabin.
What else has she done? We usually like to see if she's done anything else. She done anything else? No?
I'm sure she has. I didn't make a list of that.
Mm. Usually Brian's looking that up. But he's not.
Yeah, this time I'm not. Yeah, sorry, what was her name?
This time I'm not.
Sorry, what was her name again?
Faith Minton.
Faith Minton. Sounds like
Feel
a.
Right there, Faith Minton.
I'll be going to the Faith Minton now.
Oh, she is a. She plays a Klingon.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I can see why.
Oh, big forehead. Oh, like, wow! Look at her. Oh wow! Yeah, she's a Klingon for a reason, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk about your perfect casting right there. Goodness,
she looks like Tim Curry as Frankenfurter in some of these pictures.
She was in Batman and Robin. And is currently, no, she's not doing anything now. She was on Days of Our Lives until 07, and then she pulled out of that.
And it looks like from some of the photos, and I can't tell, but it looks like she was in the background of a Madonna video.
Yeah. Good. Well, that's what you want.
See here.
Oh, yeah. I see it in here.
Yeah, but I can't tell which song that is. That might be Papa Don't Preach based on the length and hair color of on Madonna.
Very
it was
weird.
Her short, curly blonde phase.
Yeah. Well, good
Maybe
for her.
Maybe that girl.
Maybe. I remember that movie. I remember kind of liking it at the time.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Desperately Seeking Susan?
Maybe. Maybe that's the one. It was it was a comedy. Is that what I'm... I guess they both kind of were, right? Were they?
You know, I never saw Who's That Girl, so...
It's all poo. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's all garbage now. Daryl, let's get back to your Kirsten here. Do you feel like any of these are just jumping out at you, or did I screw them up so bad that you're still confused?
Oh, I don't like these stupid technobabble particle names.
Yeah. You've never been a fan of those, I don't think.
No. And that's not a good episode anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay, I guess.
The idea, again, this is I feel like it's a good idea. That I'm not sure the execution was all that great.
Yeah. And they didn't fall through the floor ever.
They didn't?
Which they would have.
Oh, Why didn't they?
Because they could pass through walls, right, but they don't fall through
exactly.
the floor.
Exactly. What the heck is the deal with that? So you're phased. You're like incorporeal. And you can walk through walls, but you don't just fall right through the floor. What's the deal?
I don't like that either. What's the deal with that? I also don't like how in Star Trek, all the ships all meet up in places and stuff, but they're all somehow on the exact same plane facing each other straight up.
They're all upright.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like space has an invisible ceiling and floor. Yeah, it's so dumb. I've never
understood that. We'll all agree
that
we'll write our ships by Alpha Centauri, base it on that, and that's up. And then
it's like today when you say... we all are different, have different cultures and languages and stuff, but we all use the same calendar. Mm-hmm. It's like, it would be like that in space. Everyone just needs to agree. We're all facing front and forward all the time. You probably could come up with some kind of agreement for that, but why would you?
How, but I mean, what would it be based on?
I don't know. You'd have to make some arbitrary starting point and get the whole universe.
You make it like, port and starboard, like how, if two ships, I remember this from sailing days, but if two ships are about to intersect or about to collide, the one that is port has right of way. So the one to the starboard needs to turn. So maybe they have some agreement that whichever ship is bigger needs to be like the other ship needs to align itself to be upright compared to that ship.
See, I mean, because otherwise,
the unwritten laws of space.
What you'd have in Star Trek is like, oh, the Enterprise is out in the middle of nowhere, but there's something suspicious going on. A warbird decloaks, but it's upside down and facing the wrong direction. Like, that would be way better to me. Right. Daryl, I want to play a quick game with you here. I was going to do it at the top of the show, but decided to save it. If you could change, this just popped into my head this morning. If you could change your name for a day, what would you change yours to? Mine is easy. I'm going with Fernando for a day. Just one day I want to be Fernando.
Is that because of ABBA? Because you're a big ABBA
Fernando.
Fan?
Fernando. Oh, I didn't even thought about that. I could totally play in my own song. Yes, that's even better. And I'll watch that old
drums, Fernando.
Some old Billy Crystal SNL episodes where with his Fernando character.
That's right.
So you'd be Fernando.
What'd
you
say?
You'd be Fernando McGillicuddy.
Yeah, I'd be Fernando McGillicuddy for a day. I'm into that. I think that'd be all right because it's only a day. It's not like you have to keep it. What do you, Brian? How about you? We'll let Daryl stew a little longer.
Why don't I get to stew a little longer?
I don't know. You can stew a little. You want to stew a little longer?
My first thought is Zeppo.
Zeppo? And would you...
Like
how about
Mark's brother.
How about last name? Just Ibbitt still? Zeppo Ibbitt?
No last name. No last name at all. This is just Zeppo. I go by Zeppo. One name. Okay. Yeah. Like if I'm doing this, I'm going whole hog. It's one name.
How about Lady Zeppo? Can you do that? Like Lady Gaga? Zeppo. Like Lady Zeppo?
No. Why on earth would I do that?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where that idea even came from. Daryl, how about you? What are you going to do? We got Zeppo. Zeppo, Fernando, and who?
Perlenko Kris Kringlib.
Perlenko Kris Kringlib?
Kris Kringlidorb or something
that's
like
awesome
that.
That's an awesome name. I love that name. All right. Very Trekkie, too. I like it.
Well, if you're just going to make up something, Daryl, geez.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I think it's a good choice. So we got...
It's got to be like that.
What was the first name? Restrepo? What was it?
I have no idea.
Oh, you already forgot? Okay. I have too. Baryon, that's what he said. Baryon Particle will be his name for a day. All right, so enough of that silliness. Let's get to this answer here. You've got these four choices. You know what to do. Which one are you going with?
Let's see. Baryon. Baryon's in... Well, tachyons were used for other things.
Yeah.
I don't think they were used for this. Baryon. That's like a Manilow kind of thing.
Yeah. It's the stuff they made you drink before your colonoscopy.
Manilow.
Yeah. Baryon Manilow.
That's it.
That's awesome.
So I'm crossing that out. And onion is too much like onions. So I don't think they would do that because that would be weird.
Yeah.
Because it'd be like onion particles and they would smell you.
Yeah, you can't have any you can't have onion talk on Star Trek for sure.
What was the question anyway?
The question was what particles are they shooting into 10 forward to kind of let everybody know they're there?
Oh, well, onion particles certainly would do that.
Bless me.
Bless you.
Oh, I have a button for that. What am I doing? Anyway.
No, it's a cough button.
Oh,
push
yeah.
it now.
I need a sneeze. I need a sneeze button. Oh, 7 second delay. Ah, there we go.
Clearly labeled.
So I'm in the air today. Oof.
I'm gonna guess Chronoton.
Chronoton, you say? Well, let's find out. Judges, is it Chronoton?
Congratulations! Whoa. You're a winner!
You're a winner. They use the disruptor to emit Chronotons. They sweep the room for them, and Picard and Data briefly see Geordi and Ro. That must have been weird. They set the sweep to the highest level and eventually uncloaks them. Here is a clip of the memorial service going down.
Data, do you see us?
Of course.
LaForge Engineering, take the warp engines offline until further notice. There's a muon wave building up inside the dilithium chamber.
Captain, who gave that order?
That was Commander Geordi LaForge, Jensen. Please follow his instructions.
Aye, sir.
Well, it looks like a great party. You mind if we join you?
Geordi, it is good to see you.
Thanks, Data. Never been to a better funeral.
Man, when they do, like, when Mike does the editing and the music's constantly going, it's killing me.
Yeah.
Okay, I hate that episode, I've decided.
You're not a fan? I like Picard when he says, that's Commander Lieutenant Geordi LaForge. Follow his order. That stuff's great. He's good, man. He makes even the worst episode better.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Quit asking questions and just do what he says.
Do it. We like angry Picard, don't we? We don't get it enough.
No.
He's usually soft and thoughtful, but when he's mad, oh, it's great.
The line must be drawn here.
Yeah.
Here and no further.
You... There you have it, everybody. Done. We've done it. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He is also This Week in Trek's own Daryl Skills. And as always, you can catch his Grumpy Cast on the internet as well. Daryl, why don't we play a little game called Go?
Okay. Which one was I going to do? How about Star Trek Biological Molecule or Actual Biological Molecule?
Do I have a theme for that? I did that one yesterday. So biological molecule on Star Trek or actual one, right?
Yep.
Okay.
RNA reductase.
RNA reductase?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds real to me.
It does sound real. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that Shatner would have had a hard time pronouncing that, so I'm going to say real.
Yeah, sabotage.
You say RNA, I say RNA. That's how you say it.
I don't have that clip anymore. I got to get that clip. I don't know what happened to it, but I love that clip. Anyway, I'll find that later. So what is it real, Daryl? Dill?
It helps synthesize DNA from RNA, and it's real.
Yay! Woo! Of course it's freaking real. We know what we're doing here.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
Do you need supplemental income that works with your schedule?
Yes.
Tallgrass Talent Group is now hiring promotional models and in-store demonstrators. Representing major brands from top marketers, Tallgrass Talent Group helps marketers launch new products by introducing those brands to customers across the U.S. Go to bit.ly/tallgrass, apply, that's all one word, Tallgrass apply, to apply or email holly.cuppy@holly.cuppy. Let's try that again. holly.cuppy@tallgrasstalentgroup.com for more information.
I love it. I still say that last name's awesome.
It is awesome, yes.
Holly Cuppy. The Pope. You know the Pope.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The papacy, sure. The pontiff, the...
Yep. The doesn't Pope. Look like, doesn't look any more like the emperor, Emperor
nope.
Palpatine.
Nope. And that ended with Jeremy Irons, I think.
Emperor Popatine.
Popatine. Popatine helps keep my tartar and other buildup on my teeth off there.
Really? Because I love it. It's a refreshing chocolatey drink.
Yeah. Refreshing chocolatey Popatine. The Pope says he'll baptize... Sorry, this is ridiculous. The Pope says he'll baptize space aliens if they ask him to.
Oh, okay, good.
In his weekly...
But only if they ask.
Yeah, only if you ask. I mean, that's nice. You don't want to force it on the aliens.
Yes, right.
In his weekly homily on Monday, that's a deal, that's a thing where he gets up and does a thing.
Mm-hmm. It's like his fireside chat.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Is it a radio thing or is it up on the podium talking to everybody kind of thing? I don't even know. Is it pulpit? Or like a balcony?
It's a web stream. It's on YouTube. It's a live video stream.
YouTube.com/homily.
You know, actually. I bet somebody does that, yeah.
I always got homily and hominy mixed up, like grits.
Mm, yeah.
The Pope explored the idea that extraterrestrial beings might want to join the Catholic faith and determines that they should be accepted with open arms. So should aliens come, they land, they walk out, take us to your Pope, you know.
We'd like to be baptized, please.
Please. Our sins are weighing us down. Forgive me, Father, for we have sinned. It has been 6 parsecs since my last confession.
So on a kind of somewhat serious note on this, is this just an example that he kind of runs out of things to say for his weekly homily? It's like he needs a new writing staff.
I don't know.
How about we go space aliens this week?
I think it may be a sign that he's kind of creative and different. Like that he's willing to just sort of say, hey, what if? You know? Like, I don't know if there's anything wrong with that. Like, like tearing away from the staunch, strict traditions of wearing the clothes and the hat and the sitting there still as a button and saying your Latin perfectly. I mean, maybe this is just a chance for him to go, I'm letting my hair down a little bit and talk about aliens.
Let his hair down, right? Let me take off the hat for a moment here.
You think the hair's like Marge Simpson's? You gotta like pull it down.
It just fits perfectly wedged in that hat.
Yeah, straight like up. A little diamond-shaped head. Yes. What says, quote, that was unthinkable. If, for example, tomorrow the expedition of Martians came, and some of them came to us here, Martians, right? Green with a long nose and big ears, just like children paint them. And one says, but I want to be baptized. What would happen? When the Lord shows us the way, who are we to say, no, Lord, it is not prudent. No, let's do it this way. And Peter in the first diocese was Antioch, made this decision. Who am I to admit implements? A nice word for bit. This is really long and weird.
It really is, yeah.
Do we close the doors? No, in the early church, even today.
TLDR.
He basically turned a question of, would you baptize space aliens into, well, if that was ever true, of course we're not going to turn people away or aliens away. Which isn't, that's not him so much saying, I think they're aliens and they're going to get baptized. It's not the same. He's just saying... Yeah, but that's how people are spinning it, including me.
Baptize anybody. Hey, anybody.
Anybody will be baptized by the Pope. I guess he's Spanish, so. Or German, isn't it? No, Spanish now, right? The German
currently,
one, no one liked the German.
Spanish, yeah.
Yeah. No one liked that German guy. wait. So, Spanish.
Strike me down and I shall come back stronger than before. Give in to your hatred, young Skywalker.
All right, where are we now?
Are going to die.
That's kind of what he looked like. I mean, no offense. I'm sure he was fine.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about him.
Super nice guy, that Pope.
Mm-hmm. They still have the Pope Mobile. That's still a thing.
I think so. Yeah.
It'd be a real shame if they didn't.
Oh, Argentinian, by the way, not Spanish.
Oh,
thank you,
Salazzi. Thank you. Yeah, because I was going to say, I don't think they've had a Spaniard since the Borgia Pope, right? Not since it Jeremy Irons donned the hat.
Right, yes.
British using so much cocaine, this in the news also. The British are using so much cocaine, it is now detectable in British water systems.
No way, all right.
Okay. America, sit back, enjoy, because this one's not about you.
Finally, a drug story that isn't centered in the U.S.
Yeah, great. Or on its wiener down there in Florida. If you're a Brit, there's a good chance it's cocaine. But I don't get it. If you are a Brit, there's a good chance it's cocaine, according to a new study. What does that
mean? You know,
I'm
guessing that there's a line that didn't get copied in here called something in the water. There's something in the water.
That's weird. Oh, you know, you're right.
Because that would be the only way to
And it is
up.
The Huffington Post, and I probably went out of my way to remove the dumb joke. I'll bet that's what happened here. Because I do
that
sometimes.
There's something in the water, and if you're a Brit, there's a good chance it's cocaine.
Scientists from the Drinking Water Inspectorate.
Hold on a second.
The Drinking Water Inspectorate.
That's much better than the Drinking Water Expectorate.
Yep, that's right. I think the names are too close. I would change it. Call it the Drinking Water Concern. I've told you that I have this dream that we can call all companies concerns at some point. Frog Pants will not be a podcast art company. It will become an
entertainment concern.
An internet entertainment concern. Brian Ibbett will be making a music cover concern, not Coverville. Forget that. That's stupid. See? Look at it.
I like that. Yeah. Why does that feel very
Japanese?
Is it Japanese?
Well, it's very. I see you see that in Japan a lot.
What was the opening Monty Python, Meaning of Life? They have that little movie before the movie.
Oh, right.
The little short. And it was basically the pirate. What was that called? I wanted to say it was something.
But it was like a concern.
I'm sorry. The Crimson Permanent Assurance. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yes.
Scientists from
the assurance would be the opposite of the concern.
You'd think, right? That's what I'd think. Yes. Scientists from Drinking Water Inspectorate tasked themselves with finding pharmaceutical compounds in Britain's water supply. They discovered traces of cocaine in water even after it had been treated and purified. So this is after everyone peed it down the drain and they've already purified it. According to independent reports, researchers found that benzocyclonine, how would you say that?
Squeery.
Crap. I got to have that out.
Let's see.
Squeery.
Benzoy. Why? The Y is in a weird place. Like
and the C and the G.
Lescanine. Benzoy lescanine.
There you go. I'll take your word for it.
Brian changed his name to Benzoy lescanine.
But only for a day.
Only for a day.
The metabolized form of cocaine is what that is. This was common in all the samples of the drinking water that they tested. The compound is the same that is used to flag cocaine in drug tests. When you pee in a cup and they're testing you for the cocaine use, that's how they do it. Caffeine, the over-the-counter painkiller ibuprofen, and a drug used to treat epilepsy were the other compounds also found. Now, I would make sense to me that ibuprofen would be in there. Like, it'd be lousy with that because there's... that's a super common thing. People are taking that every day. If you're finding that and caffeine, I get it. If you find that and cocaine,
yeah,
you're doing too much cocaine over there. I mean, that's bad. I think
you're checking for water samples maybe a little bit too close to Club 54.
Right? Just run right out into the drain there.
Yeah.
Here's the other problem. Mm-hmm. You're testing treated water, which means treated pee, right?
Well,
which means it's still in there, which means I don't like to be reminded that sometimes our drinking water is straight up recycled from the last time someone took a dump in it.
Now, for someone who watches Waterworld and goes right to that scene anytime Waterworld is mentioned.
Yeah, where he pees on a tree and drinks it.
It seems funny that you would have an issue with this.
Well, I like it from from that movie's perspective, but I still hate the idea. Like, could I pee on a tree and then drink it? Probably not. Or at least it'd take me a while to get used to it. I'd have to be real thirsty.
Hey, you drank pee for the first 9 months of your life. Might as well, there's trace amounts of urea in amniotic fluid. So,
oh, there is.
Sure,
mom pee.
Mom pee.
It's mom pee. scientists said although the compound was widespread, it isn't at levels that would be harmful to drink. So people getting it on the other end are fine, according to this. But even if the water is still safe to drink, some experts think the mere presence of metabolized cocaine in the water supply is indicative of a serious British-wide problem. What are you people doing over there? snap out of it, man. Here's how I'd snap out of it, because these guys deliver to you. Mm-hmm. Get yourself an order of HelloFresh at HelloFresh.com.
Yes.
HelloFresh.com is the place. They're back. They're on the show again. And they're great. We love these guys. Make cooking fun again. Make cook fun again. I got a tweet today that was like that. Check this out. My spam
click
this
here,
morning.
Make cook fun again.
It says, I was directed. Do contact back. Pleased, we need to discuss. Very important. Period.
Really?
Yeah, it sounds legit, right?
It does. Yeah. Get on that.
Immediately follow up.
Sure.
Each week their chefs make these delicious recipes. They're in the middle of a fantastic week. And Brian, he's bringing up that pizza I want so bad. Mm-hmm. They will send the ingredients you need. They're farm fresh and they'll be right to your door. No questions asked. No shipping even. They give you everything you need to make that meal in 30 minutes or less. And it's like pro stuff. You feel like you just did something amazing. Just impress your girlfriend. She has no idea where you got it. Just order it. HelloFresh.com is the place. The code is MorningStream, one word, for 50% off for first-time customers. That's HelloFresh at HelloFresh.com. I recommend them. I've had them. They're great.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
too many bags of rice cake chip things. Ask for it today.
Mm-hmm. In stores now. All right, Max Landis.
Okay.
He's
who's he?
He's a writer of Chronicle. I think the director, I believe. Wasn't he? I think so.
Max Landis.
I'm not 100% sure if he directed it. The director's doing the Fantastic Four reboot, and I don't know if that's him. So I'm not sure. But he's the one that wrote Chronicle.
Okay.
He says Spider-Man is coming back to Marvel Studios. And he might be in the know on this, but we'll have to see. So we've talked about this before, and people like Schleicher and others think I'm crazy to think that Marvel would attempt to get their flagship character back.
Wait, they think you're crazy for thinking that Marvel would want to get that back?
Yeah, not that they'd want to, but that they could. Yeah, of course they want to.
Exactly. That would be the difference. Sony seems like, those movies consistently make more than they cost, so.
Yeah, regardless of critical reception or anything, they're doing, that's a money machine for them.
Mm-hmm.
So. By the way, their video game they made about that movie, utter garbage, yeah. Terrible.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2 video game.
Yeah, I watched somebody play it on YouTube, and I cannot believe how bad that looks.
That's funny because there was for a while there, the Spider-Man games were just fantastic, mm-hmm. like the web swinging through New York City and you know quests nearby. It's like, oh, guy's stealing a lady's purse, and you flop down, you go beat up the robber and give the lady her purse back, and
kind of Grand Theft Auto in a way, in this kind of, big open-world city stuff. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
It was really
but
good.
Not the so much, huh?
PlayStation 2, GameCube era, that's when I played it, and it was really good then. But this new mm-hmm. one, no.
Oh, bummer.
Let's see. We might have some news that will bring smiles to a lot of people's faces. Apparently, Max Landis has tweeted. He tweeted that Spider-Man is coming back to Marvel Studios directly. The following screen grab via Bleeding Cool has Max Landis, writer of Chronicle, saying, crazy about Marvel getting Spider-Man back. That's going to be bonkers. Second tweet followed up, quote, there's a chance I wasn't supposed to tweet that, unquote. followed by a third saying, ha ha, 5 months from now, this is all going to be real interesting, unquote. That's all super interesting to me that they may have figured out a way to either... I mean, they've got the money. The question is whether Sony's willing to take a payoff, or maybe there's some deal that they get a chunk of it still, but Marvel controls it. Mm-hmm. Or at the very least, Marvel can make a Spider-Man movie. Sony can have some involvement in it. They can distribute it through Columbia Pictures, which is a Sony joint, which is doing the current ones. Maybe there's some deal, right? They could do that and still have Sony make money up front right. down the road. And then you could bring Spider-Man back and inject him into your other stuff. You know, there's no reason you couldn't do an Avengers movie with Spider-Man in there. He's always running with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great.
Totally. Oh, yeah. I mean,
I'm all in for this.
Be fantastic. So I believe it when I see it, though. That's the. Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll get proved right in 5 months. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone watch the news. Keep your eye on the prize. And hopefully Max Landis is not fired from everything he's doing. Ben Affleck also in the news with his Batman suit.
All right.
Click that link.
Yeah, saw this. So,
and you tell me what you think, because I like the throwback to Dark Knight.
It's very Frank Miller Dark Knight-esque with the huge bat on his chest and the smaller ears.
Yep. And all that kind of monotone.
I totally like this direction. Yeah.
I think it's really cool. Now, I don't know how they, the movie, who knows what the movie's like. I hope they can live up to... Mm-hmm. to the legacy and stuff. The car, I don't know about the car yet. It's a combo. It seems like a combo of the Tumbler and the Tim Burton. They had a baby, and then this is the version of the new car. It's,
looks like the Skywalker family land speeder that.
It kind of does. Like the family,
not the
SUV,
not the convertible, but right. The family car.
Uncle Owen's car, right?
That's right.
I'm with you.
Don't take my car, Luke.
I got your stupid
convertible.
Keep that away from
Tashi Station.
I'll get some power converter.
Let's see. This image, with this image, which was officially leaked. I mean, it says leaked, but it wasn't really leaked.
Sorry, let me give you guys a link here. Sorry.
As DC surely hopes, tame the savage beast that is the fanboy hordes. They hope to do that with this image. Will the Earth-inheriting geeks be assuaged that this supersuit is free of the bat nipples that help make a mockery of George Clooney? I don't know. This article's pissing me off. But anyway, sure. The point is, and they've done a zoom in enhance on the face of the dude. And I saw it on our Tadpole group on Facebook. Yeah. I think Affleck looks pretty good in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that's his body really, but
It certainly is not.
No.
But a little bit of padding in there, and hopefully, you know, when he moves around, it doesn't look like Ben Affleck in a big padded suit. But
I like this better than the weird helmet that Christian Bale was rocking in the last two movies. I didn't like that helmet. Yeah. Helmet bugged me.
Why does he talk like that? I wonder what Ben Affleck said.
So yeah, there's your, that's that. I actually am, I'm cautiously optimistic. I, you know, I have a lot of issues with Man of Steel, but I mean, whatever, I'm going to go see it. So there you go. Also Godzilla getting good reviews. You see that?
No.
Let's take a look at the Rotten Tomatoes today. Okay. Godzilla opens tomorrow. Well, I guess it already opened. Or did it? No, today maybe midnight, whatever.
Oh really? I didn't think till Friday. Wow.
You might be right. Hold on. 16th. You're right. Friday.
Okay.
Godzilla, 85% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's really good for a movie like this, I think. 41% or 41 fresh, 7 rotten. People are saying this is the Godzilla fans have been waiting for, and any other big budget summer action flick will be hard pressed to equal this much fun, says Tony Hicks at the San Jose Mercury News. Jessica Herdon says Edwards' version of Godzilla remains the ultimate monster movie. The legacy has been upheld. Ooh.
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 What are some of the negative reviews say? Because that's what I always go for, is like Amazon reviews. Yeah, show me the negative ones, because let me see what people are complaining about. Came in a really ugly box.
Roger Moore, the McClathy Tribune News Service, says.
Roger Moore.
Says, Roger Moore. kid-friendly, ponderous, tedious, humorless.
Oh, jeez.
The guy just got a dictionary open. And then Marshall Fine of Hollywood and Fine. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Says, it's hard to imagine anyone who's serious about film taking this movie seriously. It doesn't suck. The fact that it exists, however, does.
Oh, I like how
hipster
just based
douche.
On that photo.
Yeah.
Just based on that, I think that's an accurate based
on that photo. That whole line, it doesn't suck, but the fact that it exists, however, does.
Right,
come on.
Exactly.
What are you doing? That's stupid.
I make people think with my reviews.
Tony Macklin, who looks like a hill person, says Godzilla is primordial pap. What is pap?
Pap, it's like the flavorless baby food.
Oh, it is? That's a thing?
Yeah, flavorless flavorless sustenance for babies.
Here you go. Godzilla stands tall in the modern pantheon of monster movies. A no-nonsense beast that makes his 90s counterpart look like a bogey with legs. All right.
Good.
What's
good.
A bogey? A booger?
If it's from a British reviewer, then yes.
I think it is.
If it's from a military reviewer, then it's someone coming in on your sex.
Yeah. It's a Russian trying to... Kill goose while you're not looking.
There's a bogey on your tail.
I'm excited about it. I got a couple of people out there saying, "Oh, the humans are too two-dimensional." Well, you don't go for
well,
that.
I just like the fact that it's a return to somewhat of the right look for Godzilla with the spines, the big spines on his back,
definitely much more. True to that than the other one was.
You know what? I'm interested now, and I might. Well, of course I'm interested because we own this movie, don't we?
No,
didn't we pay
a
hefty sum for this?
No,
didn't
I wish we owned Godzilla. I don't think so. Did we?
Thought we got this in the summer movie draft.
We might have. Did we? This is sad. We don't know.
Yeah. No, I'm pulling it up right now. I could have sworn that. Let's see here.
I just need to see something. I love big monster movies. I did not like Pacific Rim for a million other reasons, but hopefully I like this one.
Oh, I pulled up the wrong one. I pulled up the 2013. Hold on. Summer movie draft.
Yeah. Let's see what Team TMS owns. Or Morning Stream or however they put us on there. I don't remember.
Right. Here we go. Night Attack 2014 Summer Movie Draft.
All right.
Team TMS has Godzilla.
Oh, hey, everybody, see Godzilla.
we paid 35 space dollars for that, so okay. We need that. Draft right. Day Neighbors, Godzilla, yeah. 22 Jump Street, Planes, Fire and Rescue, and Get On Up!
So go see a doubleheader. Go see Neighbors and then this, or the other
right now, we're beating Team Night Attack.
Of course we are. Those guys suck. Screw those guys.
Well, no, none of their movies have come out yet.
Damn it. No, that's right. They waited till the very end.
That's right. They've got Blended as their first...
I'm gonna flip Justin off on Snapchat.
Right there. That's for Godzilla, baby.
Yeah, take that, buddy. So anyway, this Batman suit's fine. It's good. We're excited. Bring it on. We're gonna take unt break. When we come back, we're gonna talk to Tom because Nicole is out of it. Mm-hmm. Tom has not been informed of the time change, but I think he'll be there. Not sure it's a big deal. It's only about 10 minutes difference.
Not out running.
No, you never know. You never know with Tom. He's a healthy, fit young man. He's got his role on Parks and Rec. One season left. He's got to be ready for that.
That's right. He's got to get that last season in of being married to Leslie Knope.
That's right. So when we come back,
Party Down, Tom. Come on.
Yeah.
Party Down reunion.
Remember the blonde guy on Party Down? It's kind of obnoxious.
Yeah, the actor.
Yeah, he's on.
He was playying an actor.
Well, yeah, yeah. Yes.
For people in the chat room are going to say, aren't they all actors, Brian?
Good point. Brrr. He was on Veronica Mars, and he was annoying as hell on that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't like him. I like him on Party Down because it fits, but he's just kind of that jerk, blonde, douchey-douche, you know?
Right.
Douchey-douche.
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 My favorite. He was the best of the kid show with Pinky Dinky and whatever you call them.
Teletubbies, the word I was thinking of.
Yeah, Douchey Douche was great. Tweaked Audio sponsoring the show. Go get some pairs of Tweaked Audio earbuds, everybody. 33% off, man. Check it out. Just use the code STREAM. That's tweakedaudio.com. All right, let's take a break. You got music?
I do have music. This one going out to Brian Johnson, taking a break from singing for AC/DC. Says, good morning, artist man and music man. Artist man and music man. I would like to request a cover of We Built This City by Starship for sometime in May. If not, then any acapella styled cover of your choice.
I like that the title sounds like we built this city for sometime in May. Anyway, keep going.
Yes. Love the Waterworld holodeck though, Brian Johnson.
Oh, wow. All right.
All right.
Great.
I have a couple covers of this song. It was probably, it's come up a lot recently because it was in Rock of Ages. So there's a Russell Brand, Catherine Zeta-Jones version of it out there. I'm not playing that one as much as.
Because you like us.
Because I like you.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, you don't want to be jerks to
the
people.
But I'm going to play the version by Mighty Good Road. And maybe it's bluegrassy. I don't know. This probably fits into like an acoustic-y bluegrassy version of it. Mm-hmm. It's by, like I said, Mighty Good Road. It is a single that they released in 2011, and it's quote-unquote the Labor remix. I don't know. That's the only version I've heard. So
weird.
The fact that it's been remixed is news to me. Here's Mighty Good Road and their cover of We Built This City.
All right. We'll be back in a minute. Everybody, come on back now, won't you?
Say you don't know me, recognize my face. Say you don't care who goes to that kind of place. Knee deep in the hoopla, sinking in your fight. Too many runaways eating up the night. Marconi played the mambo. Listen to the radio. Don't you remember? We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Someone's always playing corporation games. Too bad they're always changing corporation names. We just came to dance here, but someone stole the stage. They call us irresponsible, write us off the page. Marconi played the mambo, listen to the radio. Don't you remember? We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Well, it's just another Sunday. On some tired old street. The police have got the chokehold. And we... well, we just lost the beat. Yes. Who counts the money underneath the bar? Who rides the wrecking ball into our guitars? Don't say that you need us, because we're that ship of fools coming to America, crawling through your schools. Don't you remember? We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Mayday! Mayday! I'm being attacked by zits! Pilot to gunner, break out the Oxy-10!
Roger! Oxy's cocked and ready!
Look out! Sit at 5 o'clock! Fire one!
All right! Oxy clobbered it!
Watch out! Another zit! Dead ahead!
The benzoyl peroxide in Oxy zeroes in on zits and destroys them.
That's all of them. Let's head for home.
Oxy 10. We're winning the war against zits.
What do you want, copper?
The Morning Stream. Look at me! Look at me! I'm the captain now!
Yeah, I know that commercial got played 2 days in a row. I know. I'm aware.
Yeah.
People, don't just relax. Don't send your email. I don't know what happened there, actually. It wasn't supposed to be that commercial. It's named something different. Mm. It has the word Twinkie in it. I know. What? Maybe they cause it, so I don't know. That's weird. Anyway, I'm aware. You don't have to tell me, everybody. Okay. So let's try to call Tom.
By the way, before you call Tom, I sent you something via Skype. So a few years ago, Starbucks had a leadership conference.
Okay.
And they opened it with their version of We Built This City.
Oh, let's give this a look. Hold on here. Okay. I'm going to play this video you sent me.
Yes, play that. Play that video.
We built this Starbucks.
That's right.
We built this Starbucks on high and so built this Starbucks.
How old is this? What year?
You built this Starbucks.
Jawbone Radio played it back in like 2009, I want to say. So.
Okay. So I assume these lyrics are going to be all Starbucks-y.
Yes.
Say you won't slow down or rest at this place. Say you don't know how we grew to this kind of place.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, and it just goes on.
That's bad.
I'm visualizing this, you know, this conference opening up and the lights go down and spotlight on the stage and a couple people in Starbucks uniforms.
Everybody's got a skeleton in their closet, you know? And this is theirs. Good job, guys. I'm going to blow your cover.
How far the mighty have fallen. This is I'm talking about you, Starship, not about Starbucks.
No. Although I don't like why every time I go to break, there's always some horrible video I shouldn't watch, but I'm tempted to, like, girl fight or possessed woman on train.
Yes.
Girls aren't meant to fight. The four most repulsive physical abnormalities. Like, I can't stay here. I can't be in that. All right. Hey, let's do Tom now.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, I gotta lean over here to breathe. Hang on. There we go.
It's just that. Oh, again. yank my headphones off. Let's give Tom a call and do what we do.
Okay.
Because I like it. Here's his theme. Where is it?
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man I speak of is none other than Thomas Regalius Formidimus III, Esquire Merritt.
Wow.
That was an amazing... Well, first of all, that was an amazing introduction.
Hmm.
That was an amazing little piece of serendipitous delay, Mr. Ibbett.
Oh.
as I am sitting upstairs eating my Mueslix and...
What are you, 90?
Enjoying showing the morning stream. Saying, oh, I'll just listen to Nicole and then I'll head down and plug in my laptop. I hear Scott say, well, let's give Tom a call. I'm like, nah!
I love
but
it.
Then immediately Brian's like, well, hold on, because hold I'm on. Like, this is perfect.
So yeah, nicely done.
Gave me just enough time. That was great.
We're in sync. Our ice cream social minds are working
together.
Yes, right
exactly.
Here.
Yeah, your
ice cream social network.
Your vanilla seas are in sync.
Exactly.
So are the dogs lapping up Mueslix now because of the sudden...
Who knows? Okay. It might be. I have no idea.
All right. Well, you're too kind to pop in early, and we hope Nicole is feeling better. She's got like horrible strep. I don't know.
I should have thought about that because I sent her a text the other day hoping she feels better quick.
I should have sent you a text saying, hey, Nicole may be not here, and then I didn't.
No worries. So it all worked out.
Look how I run shows. Hey, Tom Merritt. Oh, man. Let's talk about technology. That's what you do on Wednesdays here on the show, and I always look forward to it. And as much as I'm looking forward to that, I'm also looking forward to this Friday when we'll have Brian Ibbett back on Current Geek as well as Garrett Weinzierl.
Yeah,
that'll be fun.
Engaged Garrett Weinzierl.
Yeah, he just got engaged on that cruise, so we're excited
to see
him.
I bet you meant instead of just being distracted.
just disengaged.
He'd be very engaged. He's going to listen, participate, all that stuff. It's going to be great.
No, I know. He was. You could tell he's like really excited about, well, I have to call her fiance now.
Mm-hmm.
Fiance. I remember that feeling of being like, ooh, I'm a grown-up.
Yeah, now you got to do grown-up things.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you, though, and talk about tech and stuff, because you're prepping for your show, and that's always good, because we get kind of the, I guess, a sneak preview of what's going on. What's going on today? What's the big deal?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Mueslix.
It is one of those days where I like to call them wide and shallow news days. Like, it's not like there's nothing there, but there's not that one big story that's kind of dominating, other than net neutrality, which is still because the meeting is tomorrow, right? That's when the FCC has their notice for proposed rulemaking put to a vote of the FCC commissioners. Now, that doesn't make it a guideline, doesn't make it a rule. What it does is allows them to notify the public that they're going to make this the guidelines and seek feedback before they actually make a final vote on it.
So. Didn't there was some news that that FCC Chairman Dingleberry there changed something?
Yes, I believe some people pronounce it Tom Wheeler.
Wait, Dingleberry's not right. I've had this.
I think that's an alternative pronunciation.
Oh, okay. Sorry, it's an ethnic South thing going on there. Sorry.
Right.
But yeah, didn't he make some change based on all of this blowout? Or I didn't ever kind of get the real deal there.
Well, he said again, we have yet for the notice to actually be circulated officially, so we don't really know what's going to be in it. But he's actually been pretty transparent about this is what I'm going to put in it. And what he said earlier this week was he's going to add, first of all, Mozilla's plan, which Mozilla's plan is kind of Solomonic. They say, why don't you have the internal network of an ISP fall under the rules of whatever, you know, commercially reasonable, whatever. And that applies to the ISP providing services to itself, essentially, or anybody that wants to go directly into the ISP for some reason, right? Mm. Netflix does this sometimes with their Open Connect, where they put a server inside the ISP.
Yeah.
And they said, but outside the ISP, make that common carrier so that anything coming to the ISP has to be treated equally. You can't prioritize things from outside.
Sure.
No, it's kind of genius, but nobody's going to go with that. The other plan that's being officially considered now is Tim Wu's plan. He's a professor at Columbia Law. His plan says, why don't you put the previous justifications that don't allow commercially reasonable prioritization The ones that got thrown out of court, and everybody's like, well, Tim, they got thrown out of court, you dummy. Yeah. And he's like, I'm not a dummy. I'm a genius. He actually is pretty smart.
Yeah.
He's real smart. His plan is have what's called an alternate justification. Congress does this a lot. When they want to put a rule forward and they want to make sure that they show that it's constitutional, they'll show it's constitutional in two different ways. They'll say, well, under the First Amendment, this law is justified. But if you don't believe that, or if you have an issue with that, or you think our reasoning is sound, it's also justified under the Fourth Amendment. So if somebody wants to challenge it in court, they're going to have to attack it on both of those fronts. Tim Wu says, why don't you issue the old regulations, justify them maybe in a slightly different way under the current regulations, but then put the alternate justification forward that if you go to court and sue us and try to get it thrown out on Section 706 justification, we'll say common carrier applies.
Mm.
And it's like a trap door. Yeah. It basically says we're not going to reclassify the internet as common carrier, but we're going to justify our rule in a way that says we could reclassify you as a common carrier. And it sort of dares the ISPs to sue.
Yeah.
Like, you want to sue us?
Yeah.
You'll get reclassified as a common carrier if you do.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. So anyway, he officially added both of those to the proposal as alternatives for feedback.
Mm.
He also asked people to, he's going to specifically ask for comments of whether paid prioritization should be allowed. And then he said a lot of things about how he's going to be real angry if anybody abuses that system, which is sort of meaningless.
Yeah. So, so is it common for FCC when they're going to do big rule stuff, even when it's not a big high profile one like this, to say, oh, well, Mozilla's got an idea, or Woo has an idea, or let's say, Nokia had an idea, or somebody had an idea. Is it, that's pretty common for them to kind of include that in proposals?
Yeah, it's not unheard of. What is uncommon is all of this talk before the notice. Like, all of this talk and discussion and back and forth with the FCC is supposed to happen after the notice, right?
Yeah.
That's the idea, is the FCC goes, we're notifying everyone, we think we're going to make a rule, now tell us what you think. And what's happened is, because it leaked early, everybody's like, well, I'll tell you what you think right now. And so they're kind of adapting before they get to the notice phase. But yeah, including alternate proposals from industry is sometimes specifically sought after. In this case, it wasn't particularly sought after in advance. But I'll give Wheeler credit for saying, all right, well, these proposals are well crafted. We'll consider them as well.
Do you think it would ever benefit Wheeler Dingleberry? I get the name wrong sometimes. Think it would ever benefit him to get up on a mic and go, hey, I realize that I'm actually coming from a strange position toward all of this. This is an important responsibility. The job I have now has got all, my constituency is the public good. I used to work for I used to lobby for the very companies that are involved in all of this. Like, is there any value in him kind of getting up there and explaining his point of view? I mean, it's so easy just to assume that the guy's so in deep pockets with these guys that everything's all nefarious and terrible. But maybe he's just trying to figure this crap out, and maybe it would help if he actually said something instead of, I guess not hiding, but he's just not really addressing anyone's real core issues here. And is that what this period's about, where we now would know the rule, and now there's this period of time where people can figure out how they either want to protest it, demand it change, accept it, whatever? I guess I know so little about it that none of it really makes sense to me after he's proposed the idea.
Apparently it wouldn't help because he's done that.
Oh, he has done that.
He's done that several times.
Oh, well, then what do I know?
And you know what people purport?
What?
Nothing. Well, because, and here's the thing, right? Tom Wheeler stands up and says, hey, I know I used to be the head of the Cable Television Industry Association. I used to be head of the CTIA, the Telephone Industry Association. But guess what? I'm really trying to do what's right here and strike a balance. And everybody's like, okay, that's not news. That's your job. So yeah. You said, I'm Tom Wheeler and I'm trying to do my job.
Yeah.
Anything newsworthy for me to report? He's like, oh yeah, I've got a proposal that I'm going to put out for, net neutrality. Great. Tell us about that. That's what gets written about. So no, I don't think, and I think rightly so. It doesn't matter if Tom Wheeler gets up and says, I'm trying to do the right thing, because he better be trying to do the right thing. Otherwise, yeah, he shouldn't have been approved as commissioner of the FCC.
Right. That's a good point. All right. Now the bigger question. Here's the big question of the day. Before we send you off into the sunset that you belong in. I don't know what that means. Here's the big question of the day. Are you indeed, in fact, are you beloved American television and screen actor Adam Scott, and you're just pretending to be Tom Merritt on the show today. Is that true?
Not to my knowledge.
Has anyone ever told you, because Brian Ebert brought it up the other day, has anyone ever told you how much they remind, or you remind them of Adam Scott from like Parks and Rec? And
Not Alan Scott from Green Lantern.
No, not Alan Scott. Nice reference, though.
Well, I'm flattered by the comparison. He's a handsome and entertaining man.
Yeah. I'm starting to hear it myself. It's also in your voice, kind of your mannerisms and stuff, and it never clicked until Brian said so. So there it is. We've laid it bare.
I'd like to think of myself as I don't think it benefits Adam Scott any to have that comparison, but sure, I'd like to be as funny as he is.
Mantle taken. Well done, everybody. Tom
Wait,
does.
Isn't he the jerk in Walter Mitty, though?
Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah, I don't want to
think
be
about
anymore.
That. We don't think about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we pretend that didn't happen. There's also something else.
Like Alan Scott's never been a jerk.
He also played a long haired, tried to look high school age in that show my wife can't stop watching that she just finished, Veronica Mars. It's weird seeing all the weird actors that show up in that show. It's really strange. Oh, cool. Anyway, Tom Merritt's Daily Tech News Show, which airs daily, is available today, and you'll be talking about this and other stories, I'm sure. Anything else you'd like folks to make sure they catch and do?
Just remind people that the Sword and Laser anthology is released and to rave reviews so far, from people like Gail Carriger, the author, and Patrick Rothfuss, and who wrote the foreword for it. We love it, but it's always nice to have people who really didn't have to say nice things about it going, actually, this is really good. 10 sci-fi stories, 10 fantasy stories from mostly previously unpublished authors. A few of them had some things published, but it was just people in our audience. So swordandlaser.com/store if you want to check it out.
Yep, it's totally cool. Do check that out. Tom Merritt, everybody. You'll see him in 6 measly weeks.
Whoa!
At Nerdtacular. Gosh, I got to quit saying that. It's killing me. He'll be there. So can't wait for that. It's going to be great. Tom Merritt, everybody. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
See you.
Alrighty.
You know, actually, and I should have told this story while Tom was on the line, but it didn't seem to go with any of the net neutrality talk, so I didn't want to veer out. But,
what was it?
So he got me hooked on that game 2048, which is basically the twos version of threes, right?
Yeah.
And played it for forever, and got Tristan playing it. And one of Tristan's friends was over, and he's sitting there on his iPhone hanging out while Tristan's doing something. And I noticed, he's playing 2040. And like, oh, dude, love that game. He's like, oh, yeah, this is great. And I said, well, what's your high score? And he says, 12,000 some ridiculous number, 12,000 some points. And I'm like, holy cow, like the highest I've ever gotten is 6,000 something. He's like, yeah, if you just go up, left, up, right, up, left, up, right, up, left, then
depressing.
It really is. It's like, oh, I don't want to know that.
I don't like those kind of game hacks. I really don't, because then what's the point?
I know.
But the kids still do it, though.
Of course. And he's sitting there playing it. He's like, well, all right, this hack. You're not getting any enjoyment out of it.
Mm-hmm. He's like a rat just pushing the cheese button over and over.
Exactly.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's too bad, because I was actually going to try that on the iPhone. I'm not now.
Oh, well, just don't think about what I just told you.
Okay, I'll try real hard.
It's such a great game. I mean, I still play it, and I don't do that pattern, but I am like putting the numbers at the top and working with them up there.
That's fantastic.
Look at that, and people are like, all right, KJL's got over 50,000, Ichor has 24,508.
Are they all just doing upright?
Who knows?
They're the Upright Citizens Brigade.
Exactly.
I got a text from Daryl. I wanted to share this just because it happened earlier before we talked to him. But when I suggested he send a Snapchat, he sent a text with 3 question marks and said, did I send something? No, I didn't. I'm taking a pre-show dump. So there you go. Had to share that with the public.
Okay.
Emails are brought to you by...
Oh, we're doing emails. Yeah. Scroll. Brought to you by that moment you know your dog needs a haircut because her poo is sticking to her bum.
I've had it with that dog. We got to get her in. Getting her shaved on Thursday.
Yeah, you can take a pair of scissors and just cut around her, exit yourself.
Her exit. Yeah. Snip around the exit. I should probably just do that because it's getting bad. She needs a haircut so bad. Scott, you really get defensive about Spider-Man 2, says Diego Jr. Or sorry, Diego R. There's no Jr. in there. Why would I say Junior?
Diegor.
He says, I get really defensive about Spider-Man 2. Imagine plays the soundboard. Oh, I got to play the soundboard. Hold on. He means for me to play Imagine.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Imagine.
Here we go. All the people. All right. That you are a teacher and you have a student that is really smart and gets A's in the test, but is kind of a slacker and is always turning homework in late and doing the bare minimum to pass. You feel a little disappointed because he could be doing so much better. That's the new Spider-Man film to me. Sure is good, but not as good as it could be. At some points, it feels just right, just to go for a cheap scene right after. I agree 100% mm-hmm. with that. I am not defensive about Spider-Man at all. That movie's flawed to hell and back, but it's sure better than the first one that preceded it, and I like it better than the Tobey Maguire stuff. Yeah, that's all I've ever said.
And I think there's some joy in just getting to see a character you grew up with, a beloved character you grew up with, mm-hmm. on the silver screen, even if it's not Shawshank Redemption level. It's still, you know, that adds a lot to it for me. So.
Yeah, it may not be Avengers, it may not be Winter Soldier, but it's mm-hmm. it was. I had fun with it, and mm-hmm. that, and it had yeah. problems. Of course, it did. I really didn't like the Green Goblin stuff at all. Mm-hmm. I don't like visions of Dennis Leary. I'm not a fan of that.
Sure. No, I didn't mind that. I thought that's...
it's just too, like, is he really seeing him?
There were Steve Ditko drew things in there where he saw Uncle Ben all the time. And that's you know, true. If Uncle Ben is Peter Parker's moral compass, then Stacy, Officer Stacy or whatever his name was, mm-hmm. is his justice. You know, it's his...
It's true. Yeah. It's his compass and it keeps him straight. And then he screwed
just
up.
Justice compass.
And he did something bad at the end. But
that
anyway,
was my favorite Teletubby.
Just yeah, whatever. It's fine. It's just it's big dumb fun, and that's all I really felt about it. Then he says, Pacific Rim, on the other hand, is a student that works really hard, but is not quite as brilliant and is barely passing. But you feel proud that he's putting the effort in. For me, both films get a passing grade, but the one leaves me wanting something better, like the Disney Marvel films, and the other one. Was what I was expecting, better than Transformers. Maybe we just have to agree to disagree. I agree with your whole email. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in there you said that I don't already think.
Yeah.
I think that I was really disappointed with Pacific Rim from the people standpoint, but loved the robots. But I had a good time. It was fine.
Sure.
Spider-Man 2 had a good time, but didn't, you know, wasn't the best movie I'd ever seen by any means. Oh my gosh. If that's what we're asking. No.
Yeah, no.
Vroll Baby. The TMS Feather wrote in.
Okay. It
says, Dear Scrubbing Bubbles, you were talking about a spinoff that changes genres, like TV spinoffs like Lou Grant and stuff we talked mm-hmm. about. Yeah. So how much a much anticipated one? How about, I think.
How about a much anticipated one?
Yeah, that's
one.
Actually what he wrote. Somehow it looked like much was written twice, and I don't know why. He's talking about Better Call Saul. Going from a drama to a comedy. Think they can pull it off? I don't think we know that.
Do we know it's a comedy?
No.
I didn't. Yeah.
We don't know
I don't
that.
Think that's been established.
I'm sure it has got more comedic moments, just like Saul did mm-hmm. in Breaking Bad, but I am 100% sure it's not a giant tonal shift in genre. I'm sure of that. I'm sure it is dark comedy at the very least. Yeah, we're talking like Lou Grant went from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, which was a three-camera sitcom with mm-hmm. a laugh track and a live audience, to hard-hitting journalistic drama show.
Right.
With none of those other things. That's not what, I don't think that's what they're doing here. And I don't think we have any idea the tone of Better Call Saul yet at all. We don't have any idea.
Uh-uh. Well, my intention is to, I'm actually sitting on the porch writing a few episodes right now, drinking a mint julep. Uh-huh. And I think we're going to go with kind of a dramedy feel to it with, you know, some drop-in cameo characters. I really like that Tommy Lee Jones a lot. I kind of want to have him on the show.
No, hold on, Mr. Gilligan. I'd like to ask a couple of questions if I could.
Sure, go ahead.
Do you think that we'll get a brief appearance by Walter White and Jesse Pinkman in the new show at all? That like they'll be set in a different time where we might see them working off in a corner or doing something?
Well, I won't say that it's not in the realm of possibility.
Any chance to say possibility? Oh, that's funny. Nobody does that like you do that. My gosh, that's good. That's my favorite impression. Easily my favorite.
That's funny. I don't think it's one that sounds like the guy at all, but okay.
It doesn't matter. It's like my George Lucas. It's got nothing to do with reality, but it somehow works. Final email. This is from Jeremy, who wrote in and said, "Dear Scott and Brian, I used to drink 8 ounces of Green Machine a day." Oh, I just threw that in the trash. I was going to hold it up. And I found out, until I found out it wasn't actually organic. You mentioned getting those Naked Juice Green Machine drinks the other day, and this is when we were talking to Chinbeard. And I think I know why. If you do a quick Google search, you'll see that the company that makes the drink, Pepsi, is the parent company, fell under a lawsuit for lying to their customers. Also, if you look on several health sites, including this one, which they gave me, rebootedbody.com, it tells you some things that make you want to reconsider. Either way, I'm furiously looking for that kombucha drink that you're always talking about to no avail. Any help in locating would be appreciated. I just get it at a local grocery store. I'm not doing anything special.
Yeah,
it is literally like in the drink
aisle.
Have
to go, you don't necessarily have to go to a Wild Oats, like grocery stores, convenience stores,
yeah,
the cooler.
Yeah, all those things. I am currently stationed in Patrick Air Force Base in Florida, where we consistently laugh about the Florida man jokes. Thanks for that. Take care and have a great day. Love some Froyo, Jeremy. Well, Jeremy, I did some looking around. The big complaint has been that those Naked Juice drinks have a ton of sugar in them, as much as a Mountain Dew of equivalent ounceage. And that's not good for you, probably. A lot of glucose in there. There, I can't find this lawsuit stuff, so I'll have to dig a little further. But yeah, I don't
know who is having a lawsuit. I've got those goofy five finger Vibram shoes. I heard about the toe shoes.
Yeah,
they're going through a lawsuit because it's been proven that they do absolutely nothing for you.
And they hurt you, right? Isn't the lawsuit that they actually jam your bone up into the permanently damage your heel bone or something?
Oh, yeah. No.
What is that? Hold on. Vibram.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to
lawsuit. Okay. Vibro benefits. I can't find a quick deadly disease associated with raw oysters. What the hell's that? Oh, no, that's not it. Well, anyway, somewhere in there, it's something to do. I was reading this.
They're bad. I heard that they just weren't good for you. I didn't hear that they were bad for you, too. That's crazy.
Like some people are experiencing actual bone damage, permanent bone damage or something from wearing them. And then they get, so you get like $90 or something, right? Part of their settlement or something?
$3.75 million dollar class action lawsuit, but I have not heard. Oh, there we go. Vibram must pay a maximum of $94 per pair to its customers, but most should expect to receive between $20 and $50.
So it depends on maybe the pair you got.
Well, yeah.
Well, here's the other thing. So the health benefits are being proven to be maybe not there, and there may be health problems with them, but mutual friend Will Smith, not the famed actor, but the famed technology journalist who runs the Tested site, tested.com, and does the Tested podcast. This is only a test. He mentioned on the previous show that they're perfect boat shoes. So if you need a good pair of boat shoes, they're the best thing ever. And so my extrapolation from that is maybe Vibro just needs to refocus their marketing.
Remarket. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Just focus on outdoor stuff instead of running.
Totally. Yeah. I could see like rock climbing too. Well, I guess maybe they only give you enough support for rock climbing, but it seems like having that extra flexibility and being able to like hook your toes into spaces that you might not necessarily be able to get with a solid shoe might be better. But my
meter always goes off when a company says, "Look at these Kenyans running barefooted. We should be doing that." That's not enough.
Clarification from a lot of folks in the Tadpool. N says they claim the shoes strengthen your feet. They don't. They claim that you'll have less injury. You get more. Pardon my zinger says the study has shown that people going from running in sneakers to running in the five fingers requires care. Otherwise, you can increase your chance of bone fractures.
Yeah, that's the one. And there's some people who have and their fractures they can't get rid of. Yeah. Or there's hairline cracks up the side of their shins or something weird.
Mm.
Anyway, just be skeptical, people. Don't buy into every fad that you see. And then get them for boat shoes. That's what I'd do.
Get them for boat shoes. Sure, why not?
Yeah, because that's awesome. When you're in a boat and you need to get around, you got to walk around, and if you have like sandals or like you know canes or something, you're gonna get dirt and rocks in those things, and they hurt. Get something that feels like
They're probably good. Like if you're going to a water park, they're really good for that,
right?
Yeah.
Grab somebody with them because they got fingers in them. Grab a kid.
I don't know, maybe. Maybe you don't want that kind of grip on the real slippery slides.
Oh, good point.
Having it stop you, but
plus you look like a freak.
Yeah.
Big yellow feet. That's it for emails. Thank you for submitting them. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is the email address, and you, dear listener, are encouraged to use that. On the site, you can find us at frogpants.com/TMS, and all links that matter are there, including those to our store, our t-shirt, our mug, all of our cool stuff. On Twitter, find us at MorningStream for the show, Scott Johnson for me, Coverville for Brian. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, Wendy will be here, I think. Therapy Thursday, I think. I have to check, but I think so.
She's not out. If she's not out weeding.
Yeah, show either way, though. So we're having that. And next week, about this time, I will remind you that we have 5 weeks.
Come on.
I know. I gotta stop. I'm trying to stop. I know. It's painful.
That's for me, that is as bad as playing the Daryl Skills gagging clip. That's how painful that is.
I don't remember the lead up of that much time feeling so not dreadful because I'm excited.
Because we have, we in theory, we have 3 games. Not even in theory. We have 3 games of Frog Pants All-Stars. We have 2 45-minute games, and then the winners of those 2 games will face each other the second day. So I have three games to write questions for.
So that's a lot of work, and there's a lot to do still, and a lot to get in.
And I'm not complaining about the amount of work, but don't remind me how little time I have.
Right. Yeah, nobody, don't give him the odds, is what Han Solo would
That's
say.
That's right. Sales geek. Even David Michael says, stop that. You're killing me, Scott Johnson.
I'm sure I'm killing Dave most of all. And yeah. Corinne probably just has turned the show off by now. So I understand, but we're so excited to see you guys there. That's what matters most.
It's going
to
be a blast.
Pretty stoked. So anyway, that's it. We're going to get out of here with some songs. Well, one, anyway. And it'll be what?
It will be... Going out to Mickey in Brisbane, Queensland, says, hi, SJ and BI. I'm sorry, I don't have an inspiring story to share or an important date to mark. I just have a love of sharing amazing but generally forgotten music. Dude, you know, I want to make it clear that you don't have to have like a really important story or a date associated with something for me to play a request. You get a request in. Yeah. It doesn't even have to be a birthday.
Yep.
To that end, I would like to request a cover of one of Alan Parsons' projects, the Alan Parsons Project's instrumental works, such as Lucifer, Sirius, or The Gold Bug. Any of them, your choice. Thanks. Still love the show, though. Mickey from Brisbane, Queensland. Everybody thinks when they think of Alan Parsons Project, they think of stuff like Eye in the Sky, and Wouldn't Want to Be Like You and Games People Play and all their hits with vocals. But they actually released on each album quite a number of instrumental songs, like Michael Jordan would always come out to Sirius. That
Oh, that's right.
Your Chicago Bulls.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So along those lines, how about a cover of Hawkeye? This is from a band named Mass, M-A-S-S, from their 2011 album Mysteria. It's a cover of one of Alan Parsons' projects, instrumentals. It's really fun. I actually like this a lot. And there you go. It's called Hawkeye.
Hawkeye.
No relation to the MASH Doctor or the arrow throwing Avenger.
The arrow chucking Jeremy Renner Avenger.
That's right.
That's going to do it. Don't forget.
I will stay here until I have seen the young lady.
All right. Sounds good to me. It's Hawkeye, and we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Will you listen to me?